Imagine briefly that you went back in time and are face to face with your 16-year-old self. What are your first impressions? It's the end of the school day and you are following your younger self through the hallways and you end up at your old locker. One of your friends walks up to you and asks if you can spend the night at their house on Saturday. What do you say? You might say yes, but you have to check in with your mom, or you might tell them you will call them tonight. What if your answer was, I can't, I'm in foster care? Hello, thank you for tuning in today. I'm your host, Barbara Huggins, and you're listening to the CWRC podcast. And this is the Pennsylvania Youth Advisory Board statewide update. Today we were talking about normalcy, and particularly normalcy for older youth in foster care. We have some great information today. We'll be hearing from the youth leaders from the Pennsylvania Youth Advisory Board, and I'll be giving you some top tips on how youth participants can be engaged and partnered as counties and agencies incorporate the federal law, the Preventing Sex Trafficking and Strengthening Families Act, into practice, as well as the Pennsylvania law, activities and experiences for children in out-of-home placement. So what is normalcy? Why is it important? The Pennsylvania Youth Advisory Board, which is an organization made up of 16 to 21-year-olds in the foster care system, who use their stories and their experiences to make the system better for their brothers and sisters coming up behind them. They do this by having partners sit at their tables and listen to them as they talk about upcoming policies and statewide updates. They use their stories and on-panel presentations, and they also take that work to partner with counties depending on what they want to work on. It's important to youth in care to have normalcy because oftentimes they experience the system as restrictive, and this gives them a feeling of a lack of control over their lives. So normalcy is a way for them to be able to be just like their friends or to meet their friends at their lockers and be able to say, sure, I need to check in with my foster parent or my mom, and I'll let you know if I can spend the weekend this weekend. It allows them to have normal experiences and interactions with their friends without them be feeling embarrassed and feeling normal just like their friends. So normalcy can be defined as the activities that are generally allowed for children and youth of the same age or level of maturity. This is based on the development of their cognitive, emotional, physical, and behavioral capacities. And all of these are very important for our older youth in the system because these will also help them transition to adulthood and also to maintain those key important relationships in their lives. These freedoms are important to older youth in the child welfare system. They aid in the process of guiding a youth in foster care toward a happy, healthy adult life. Some other reasons are that it helps them feel normal and builds their identity, which is oftentimes lost as a result of losing family connections and loss of connection to things that they love doing, such as sports or cultural activities. In essence, it helps build their self-esteem. It can help them cope with the stress of being in the system. It prepares them for adulthood by giving them access to safe experiences and opportunities to make decisions on their own. It increases interactions with friends and connects them to a more natural support network, one that doesn't involve forced relationships or forced interactions with someone to build permanency. They just happen naturally as a result of them participating in things that they love doing, such as sports, art, religious activities, music appreciation. Ultimately, all of these experiences can help youth build positive childhood experiences and help heal from the trauma experienced in a life of neglect or child abuse, or the other reasons that they could be involved in the system. You can find all of the Pennsylvania Youth Advisory Board's recommendations about developmentally appropriate freedoms and normalcy at our website, www.independentlivingpa.org. Our big push right now is having youth at the table with counties and agencies as they consider these two new laws and put them into practice. I had an opportunity to speak with one of our Youth Advisory Board members about normalcy. Why is normalcy important to you?
So, for me, being normal is just having your family there and being able to do what other kids are able to do that are not in foster care.
Is there anything else you feel people should know about normalcy?
Just treat them, I don't know how to explain it, like, just treat them like a person of everyday life.
How does normalcy feel?
I think it feels pretty great. Like, I don't have people looking at me like, oh, she's that special kid who has to do CYS, or she's that special kid who doesn't care. Like, they look at me as a normal person, as a normal girl that goes to school and lives out their life. Like, it's exhausting when people look at you and think that you're something else and that you're not normal. So normal is a big thing for people that are just not taking care.
Okay, thank you. I really appreciate your insight. I'll be talking now and giving you top 10 tips on how to involve youth in that change process. So the first tip that I want to give you today really starts from the beginning. You want to have youth involved from the very beginning of your conversations. You might start with a relationship that you have with the youth already, asking them what they think about these laws and policies, and incorporating that into your improvement plan or project plan. Step number two is just kind of a continuation of number one, is you want to have that youth involvement from to the very end as well. So how do we keep youth motivated and engaged and interactive? And the youth voice may not end at the end of this particular project. You might just continue it onward and upwards. Three, it's really important that the information that you give youth, it's friendly and it's easy to understand. You want to make sure that you're not using information that has a lot of high-level jargon or acronyms or legalese. The more you can help them understand what you are trying to do with them at the table, the more likely they are to participate and not be afraid to ask questions. So this is about giving them an opportunity to learn, to help understand, and we can never discount the relationship building that comes out of having them at the table. Four, really encourage youth to be a part of that decision-making process. This can be helping them set the agenda, what they like to accomplish with your work group or project planning, and also to help make decisions on what policies actually look like. What does it actually look like when your caseworkers or agencies implement these normalcy policies? Now, having you have a say in what stays in the policy and what needs to come out of it. Number five, you aren't going to be able to do a lot of this work unless you kind of really do the work to build the culture in your agencies. Your agency should be doing this at every asset of their step process, so at the door, at the end, when the youth leave. So some of this might take work in preparing your staff and your professionals while having you sit next to them at these tables and sharing very personal insights on how previous policies have impacted them. Six, incentives. Now, I'm not saying that you give youth money to participate, though it may help. But access to free food and being acknowledged for their participation and leadership can be very helpful in helping them stay involved. This can be a thank you letter. This could be letting them know that you appreciate the work that they do, or even allowing them to be recognized in their small part in your work. Seven, including their supportive adults helps kind of give them the tools and the resources to be able to participate. Making sure that they have the meeting materials, information, and reminders for meetings, and to be able to participate in effective conversations. Now, from my experience, it's not always easy to engage a youth. You're competing with their other priorities, such as work, jobs, schools, sports, and all, friendships. So helping them to kind of participate as easy as possible is really important. It might take many outreaches to get their attendance. Ask them, what is the best way to reach them? And maybe, please don't leave me a voicemail. Or can you send me a text reminder instead of an email? Would you consider using Facebook to outreach to your youth? We have learned at the Pennsylvania Youth Advisory Board that you always want to engage their supportive people. So is there a staff person that can help hold them accountable? Is there a resource parent that's really excited that they're participating on this work group? 8. Reach out to the Pennsylvania Youth Advisory Board. Check to see if your county or agency has a YAB. But you can always outreach to your regional youth advisory boards. All are eager and all are trained on developmentally appropriate freedoms and normalcy and the two laws that we talked about earlier in our podcast. They are very active and very interested in sitting with you and talking about your policies. They might even be able to give you good insight on how to involve youth in the policy process, how to recruit a youth member, all the way to helping them keep engaged. 9. Storytelling. One of the most vital parts a youth can share with you is their stories. They'll be able to let you know which policies that may have started well-meaning really impacted them, either in a benefit or in a negative way. They'll let you know how these policies really have come down to their level. Their stories can be used to motivate your work, and they can inform the culture change process that you're looking to do in your agency. And number 10, which is my favorite one, is always have fun with them. Even though the topics and the work that you have are really serious, take breaks to have fun and talk with them. Again, one of your secondary goals for this is building relationships with youth to kind of continue that change-making process. You can do it by showing them a funny YouTube video or asking them, did they see anything funny on Facebook today? It could be letting loose and talking about what they learned in school or talking about a friend's funny story. So those are our top 10 tips for engaging youth in the policy change process at your county or agency. We encourage you to take one or three of the steps and just start somewhere, having a youth sit at your work group meeting or having a focus group with your youth. And then keep growing, keep moving with the youth as you talk to them. Don't stop and find ways to continue to work with and beyond. If you're looking for support and information, the Child Welfare Resource Center does have a roadmap to family and youth engagement in your county and agency. That's available on our website at www.pacwrc.pitt.edu. If you were a youth, what kind of advice would you add to this list? What are some of the tips? In agencies, we want your stories and suggestions from including youth in your policy change process so that we can include it in our next Pennsylvania Youth Advisory Board statewide updates. Normalcy is a big topic this year, and we really would like to see some great progress. You can stay tuned with the Youth Advisory Board on our Facebook page by following the hashtag NormalcyPA. Thanks for listening. And once again, you can check out more information about our podcast at pacwrc.pitt.edu. Thank you.